Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, John Crockett, and we are looking at the six games that have been played in the AAMI Community Marsh Series, JLT, whatever it's called these days. And to do that, we have the man from Western Victoria who became a proud father for the second time, Stevie Fizz. Welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks, John. It was a great day getting that Top Shot pack. You know, the marketplace is down. I'm looking forward to seeing if I can get some more moments. But of course, we're talking about the electric boogaloo kid, Rosie. Yes, yeah, she's alive. Yes, yeah, she's screaming. Yes, yeah, she's a fucking maniac. But happy days, happy days. I got a day off work.
Excellent, excellent. Congrats on the sex to get the day off of work. Excellent. And the man from Queensland, it is Cam McLaughlin. How you doing?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Steve looks, and it worries me slightly, somehow he looks more rested than normal. And I have no idea how that works with a three-day-old baby.
Alcohol, puts you in a coma, don't hear any screaming, Mrs. Fizz to the rescue.
Oh, Mrs. Fizz does not look rested, I will say that. No, but we've had great support. That her parents have come up and her mum's still here, so... But nice. How was your draft, Cam? You drafted on the weekend, you sick fuck, and at about beers for brekkie, vodka, Father O'Leary's on the cornflakes.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. We had a couple of people. It ended up going like 4.5 hours, our draft, because we go pretty deep on the bench. But we had a few people that sort of towards the end of the bench had to auto draft. So some pretty ordinary picks and good value for those that were still able to hang around. But I totally got caught out. The forwards really snuck up on me. Like, it's been really well documented that forwards are, you know, really thin. And what we've seen in every draft to date is that the big forwards go off the board. Then there's sort of a trickle of the rest of the forwards throughout the draft. Up to about round 8, there was still like Tom Phillips, Isaac Heaney, like these sort of probably, you know, closer to your top tier of forwards, you know, the second tier, but closer to that top tier end. And then within one round, from there to, Schoenberg was gone. You know, like, it was just this massive, gap. And I completely missed the boat. I've got this like sort of ragtag bunch of forwards. I've got a really solid defense. My midfield is gonna see. I probably didn't go as well as I'd like.
So draft mids is what you're saying?
Well, no, it wasn't even that. Like, everyone in my league went mids. Mids went really heavy, really early.
Okay,
which is just the contradiction to what we've seen so far.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be typical of more of a home league than. Yeah, we'll say a content providers league rather than an expert league because of the head up our ass situation. But what do you say to someone who finds themselves in that situation in their draft? Do they? I mean, surely panicking isn't the right move, and just grabbing, you know, the end of the tier. Surely it's stacking value elsewhere.
And that's exactly what I did. I doubled down every single time. And the first time I doubled down, I was like, yep, sweet. I'm going to take my D4 before I take my F1.
Yep.
And that did not pay dividends. And of course, I chose to double down again and took my M3 and M4 instead of taking an F1. And so maybe, you know, limit the double downs to just one or two. I think... There's actually a fair bit of value in the forwards late, and I think my forward line could surprise people, to be honest.
If you're going to pop from any line, we see it every year, it's the forwards.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, guys like Cam Rayner, Zach Bailey, they all went really early. Like, there was, you know, early in that second tier, they went... So, 8th or 9th round, look out for that forward sweep. Wow. Yeah.
All right, we are going to get into it. We're just talking all things AAMI Community Series, just a bit of a roundtable discussion, who we noticed, what we noticed, how that new stand rule affected the play, if we noticed anything, and kicking off with the Carlton and St Kilda match. And it was all things Brad Hill early in that game for me. Like, he was just running everywhere. With that stand rule especially, he just comes in that 5 metre exclusion zone for the opposition, handball receive, keeps running at full tilt, and going to be hard to tag him if they do want to apply a tag for Brad Hill this year, but he's got some potential late round value for me.
Yeah, absolutely, and he was someone's mid seven in my draft. He went that late, and that was after that game as well.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, so there's a fair bit of value there. I think I was really interested in halfback distributors after not just this game, but the entire weekend.
Mm.
Guys, like, he's midfield only, but Jack Sinclair, who top scored from in the AFL fantasy format, was an absolute seagull of halfback. And he got 112, so he notched up the big ton. I think there's, you know, if that's his role and he's the guy that's coming in to fill, who's the fellow that went down? There's a guy that's injured that didn't play.
For St Kilda?
Yeah.
I didn't see who got
there.
Zach Jones is out.
Yeah, no, as a defender. But yeah, so if he keeps that role when Zach Jones and Hannahs and stuff come in, then geez, he could be really good.
Was it Chip Frawley who went down?
No one gives a shit about Frawley.
That's the only one I can think of who went down.
Yeah. But you know, those guys I think are gonna be really good. Zach Williams probably did as expected.
Probably won't play round one, though, with that high hit on Clark in the first 30 seconds. But he might slide a round or two now because of that. But certainly played well, went forward, snagged a couple of goals. But Sebi Ross, he had an interesting role on the half back, but I'm not sure if that was due to Hannabury and Zach Jones being out, or what was your thought on that, Steve?
I think Seb Ross is potential value.
Because no one's drafting him at the moment.
No, but he's in that glut. Like, you're talking about Brad Hill, Seb Ross, Tom Green, all these guys. There's a big glut full of mids at the end you can sort of take a shot on. I mean, Seb Ross has done it before. I probably don't see much upside in him. But, I mean, you could probably do worse. But he's someone who can float around anywhere. He will lay a tackle. He will get a mark. And that's sort of how you build a fantasy score. So you could certainly do worse.
And it seems they favoured Jack Higgins pushing up the ground a little bit more than Jack Billings as well. I was sort of keen on Jack Billings this year, but after seeing, was it Thursday night, I was like, he's spending a bit more time forward and not that cushy wing role that he's had.
He still had 21 touches, 10 contested, 6 clearances. I mean, they're not horrible numbers. And again, talking about someone who builds a score, like building a score with marks and tackles, he only had 5 marks, no tackles, no goals.
I suppose there was no defence in that first half where I think it was about 40 goals kicked or whatever it was.
So I think this was what we saw across the whole thing was like, the ball movement was quick and there was kicks and all that, but the contested possessions across some of these early games, I haven't done the numbers on the later ones. If you go back to the 2019 stats on contested ball, it's the same. Like, it's league average.
Oh, wow.
So what you've seen is sort of a bump of a, like, and again, to the people, I haven't done the later game, so I don't know if that rings true, but pretty much league average. The only thing was the tackles were down and kicks were up. Like, disposals were up and it was kicks. But the rest of the stuff was kind of league average from pre-corona ball. So I just wonder if when the season proper hits, if the pressure goes up, kicks don't hit their target as much, there's more tackles, and maybe there's some sort of normalization. Maybe I'm just guessing here, but it could be a bit of both.
It could also be a correlation to that stand on the mark rule where you've basically got a free kick to a loose man now. So if you get a short 15, 20-meter kick going forward, then obviously there's going to be more kicks going forward. But it didn't really seem like there was a lot of kick mark possession game. It was more run and gun style off the halfback. From the games that I saw.
Certainly in this game. Like, this game was so fast off the halfback. Yeah. And you had guys, you know, Doherty looked really good off the halfback. Williams, when he played off the halfback, looked really good.
Adam Saad looked pretty solid. Like, I thought he might have fallen away a little bit, but he looked pretty good as well. I thought, I know he had the career year last year, but I thought he was pretty good. And he's been going late in drafts too as well.
You know who didn't look good? Jack Martin.
Yeah. I was about to use on my notes. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm glad he did that now.
We had him ranked where? We had him ranked probably top in the top 10. Right? Hey?
In top 10. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's going
to 10 to teens and forwards. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oof. It's real. It's an Amy game.
Yeah.
It's an Amy
game. What do you do, though? Wait. Yeah. Like, that's one for me where I'm like, I'm happy to slide
I think it's
that.
Really easy to push him behind guys like Tom Phillips, DeGoey, based on that. Although Phillips I'm still a little bit cagey about, but...
I guess we'll get to that.
We'll get to... Oh, man, there's some... Talking about slick ball movement off halfback, there were some games where that was not the case.
We'll go on to the Pies and Richmond, and I think might have been mentioned once or twice on this pod over the years that defenders against Collingwood might be a thing. I can't remember if we've said that, but
Is
that a thing? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know, but Jesus Christ, Jaden Short, what do you have, 43 possessions in a pracky match? Yeah, he just went right up on a lot of people's boards. Look, with Bashir Hooley out, we know he's the main guy. Don't expect 43 possessions every week, but he's still going to be that main guy. And Steve, your boy, Liam Baker, also looked pretty good without Bashir Hooley. Like, we saw it last year without him there, and both of them were pretty good.
I think that's...
I thought he was my boy. Surely my boy.
I don't
boy.
Think he's ever been my boy, but I certainly thought he was a good late pick. That's the only good thing about Jaden Short's performance for mine is that it was so good. No one is talking about the fact that Liam Baker just dropped a 90-burger without Hooley. I know it's against Collingwood, but, man, you got to be feeling that, like, 18th-round value on Liam Baker, surely.
Well, Camden McIntosh dropped the ton in AFL Fantasy in a 90 Supercoach. Mid-only, no interest. if he had a forward or defender status, would you take a nibble?
You could get him and Josh Caddy on the turn. Josh Caddy with the 125 in classic preseason style.
And will never be seen again.
Yep. Isaac Quayner looked
Caddy,
really good.
Caddy was usable last year because he was playing just wing and it wasn't too bad.
Mm. Yeah, Isaac Quayner did look really good, looked really settled in that back line there. Again, he was going, I don't know where he went in your draft, but I certainly had him as that D4, D5 pickup
in
my draft.
Yeah, where he went.
And we saw in the midfield, no Tay-Tay, but it was Pendles, DeGoey running through the mid. He looked good. He looked fit, solid in that. Again, comparing him to Dustin Martin yet again. He looked good. I think he might secure that role with Dacos. Dacos a bit off. I think he's more suited that high half forward for me, but what do you guys reckon?
I was really surprised at how poorly he went, given that Saidy went down in the first, like,
30
couple
seconds.
Of minutes. Yeah. And so it was like, if there's an opportunity to stand up, you know, now's probably the time to do it. But he didn't show much. And I get that against Richmond, it's pretty hard to score sometimes for midfielders, but I kind of thought he'd do much better than what he did, 58 in your AFL fantasy format.
You hate to take a victory lap when a guy doesn't perform, but there was a lot of questions about my shitful ranking of Josh Dacos. He's outside, man. He's outside.
Mm.
And Jeremy Howe seemed to play all right in his comeback, but again, I think he's still building a bit of fitness, so we'll wait and see on that one. But again...
I think what was interesting there was... Quayner, especially in the first half, I didn't catch much of the second half. Quayner seemed to have the license to intercept.
Maynard went off for a little bit with a bit of a calf, but did come back on.
But it was more that, you know, it wasn't Jeremy Howe.
No, it was so, more Chris Maynard and Quayner.
Yeah, so that's one to watch. Maybe that's something they're just trying to keep his knee in glass for a little bit. But
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a better value than Jack Crisp? Like, no one's even talking about him. This guy's a top six defender Like,
he was slutting it up big time in that game.
Without look at what Treloar did last year. The guy didn't do much aside from have 30 BCV touches every week. There is so much ball out there. Who runs off the half back line well for Collingwood? Jack Crisp, and he never misses a game.
Was good. He was good.
And just to give you an example, right? So he ended up on 90 in the AFL fantasy format, and he was on 5 at quarter time.
My God.
Like, that is a man that can slut.
Oh, yeah. Big sluttage. Thank God I didn't see this game, but I heard it was absolutely riveting. It was North Melbourne and Hawthorn. Walk us through it, boys.
I did watch this game. And after I went to the utensil drawer in the kitchen and just got the peeler out and just started peeling my eyeballs back. It was painful. It was wasn't a great match. Man, all the people, there were so many guns out. I think that was the big problem for me. There were so many guns out is that even heading into the match, I'm like, this is going to be a pile of shit. And there's not much to take away. So, like, Titch is out, Jago Ramirez is out, Wingard's out, Cunnington's out, Jed Gotterson's out. Tom Phillips, you got to be really happy with his performance. Like, Liam Shields, we've seen him absolutely rack when dudes miss. So, I'm probably not super keen on Liam Shields. Although, if guys are missing time, like...
Well, if you brought the kit, you would have seen a rope only gets the pop when the other guys are out. So.
And he does, because he's really good at getting it. Warple. I want to talk about Warple, because we all sort of like Warple. If good kicking skills are going to be a requirement, I'm terrified.
Not his wheelbag?
No, it's not his wheelbag.
Yeah, especially when you get the other guys back. He might just be that in and under guy to kick it out. I mean, Titch has been that guy where he was the one launching it inside 50s. I think in his Brownlow year, he was the number one inside 50 guy for Hawthorn going inside 50. So it could be that going forward. But guess wait and see, because we haven't seen them all together yet, have we?
No, and like the Hawks ruck situation was just a split. It was... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you can want any part of either. I know with McAvoy's got the defender status. I don't know how you can want any part of that. On the other side, Stevenson was playing pretty wing. Got some. I think he got a couple CBAs. Was running off behind the ball. He actually did some nice defensive things. I thought he looked pretty good. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I think with the way the forward line is, you could certainly throw a dart there. Zeebel was playing off half back. I know it's a new role, but to me, if you have to continually move your captain around to find a good spot for him, like that says a lot, doesn't it? Like, and it really hurt the output of Luke McDonald. He was doing absolutely nothing. He did finish with 68, so he sort of junked it up a little bit, but. Man, it's hard to get too excited about North Melbourne. They play Port Adelaide, and man, I would be loading up on a powerful. Orazio is like the best stream ever. Thank God they took him off at halftime today.
Yeah, I'll get to that. Yeah, 41% time for 73 and 77.
Ooh.
Nice.
Jeez. he's still gonna, he'll go off draft boards now anyway. To be honest, I want to talk about Harry Morrison. To be honest, did you guys see much of him? I didn't.
He's been.
I feel like I didn't see him at all, and then I had a look, and he got 100 and nothing.
Yeah, he was sort of usable a couple of years ago when he sort of, he had that roll off half back.
Because he's got the dual position again this year. Pretty handy.
I thought you were going to talk about Chan Guth.
Mate, there are two people that I really want to talk about, and one is Chan Guth Jiath, of which it is his season, and the other one, of course... Dom Tyson.
Moving on to the next game.
My brand is strong in this game, boys.
Well, when you've got Cunnington and Anderson coming back, Dom Tyson's putting in a strong performance for those who watch the VFL.
Man, he kicked 3 goals.
So did Josh Walker.
Yeah, but that's because he's one of the most dominant forwards of the last decade.
Oh man, watching this game, the commentary around Josh Walker was so fucking hilarious. It was like he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
he's been such a great player for all these different clubs. who picked him up for nothing, like,
and then ditched him off for nothing.
Yeah. Do you remember this actually happened this time last year? Cam and I went to the North Melbourne Western Bulldogs JLT match, and Cam's like, shit, Josh Walker's slutting it up, tunned up, whatever. Nothing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, his season stalled when he went up for a big grab and landed on his head.
Yeah.
not good form.
Jono, you're an
Dom Tyson. Jono, you're an Dom Tyson is a furphy, by the way. Like, for sure, he's not going to. He probably plays VFL.
And Jarman Impey, did he have managed game time or just shit?
Managed game time.
Okay. 43% Tog, but 43% for 25.
Yeah. No, that's good. I can dig that. The Cats and Essendon. Essendon didn't. I only saw about half of this game. They didn't look too bad from what I saw.
Darcy Parrish, man. That, you know, if he can learn to finish, because he missed, I think, two or three shots on goal that he probably should have sunk. He ended up with 116. He looked really, really dynamic, and it was probably one of the reasons why they were so close at all.
Potato length. He was all right.
Well, the ball movement of the Bombers was just really, really good, actually. I thought they were really consistently moving it through the middle and just playing through the corridor. You know, really benefited guys like, again, your halfback distributors. So Nick Hind looked really good. Then even Dyson Heppel playing off the halfback looked pretty good. Devin Smith, when he was running off the halfback, looked really good. Ridley, of course, was very good. Yeah, I thought they were decent.
Was Devin Smith like a lot of two-way running and like just really gut running from halfback, pushing forward? Because I know he kicked a goal or two and then going the other way.
He played a couple of positions more so. So he'd come off the halfback, but then spend a lot of time forward as well.
Yep. And an interesting one, Zach Merritt played like 87% game time. Like, he played a lot of minutes compared to the Cats midfield, which was Selwood and Guthrie played like 65% each. Danger was only in the mid-70s as well, so they had a low TAG there for their midfield group. And I guess it is Clark season, isn't it?
No? Maybe.
Go on.
Maybe, but you've taken a guy who was super hot, was one of the highest mark-taking midfielders out of the Geelong team in Mitch Duncan, like fantasy gun. I mean, there were points up for grabs in that sort of situation. Talking about a grand final team who, you know, just has to go through the paces, so to speak, dust off the cobwebs, all that sort of thing. So, sure, someone who wants to establish themselves in the team, put their best foot forward. Why not?
I think it's worth keeping an eye on Tom Atkins playing in defence.
He did look good.
Yeah, and he ended up with a pretty handy score. Obviously, he's not going to have dual position status in some formats, but he should cop it in round 6 in your AFL fantasy and probably round 3 in your ultimate footy.
Yeah.
And I also did my 2-meter Peters game either. Presented pretty well and can play a little bit backup ruck to Draper as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a couple of things. I thought this, Clark's interesting, but taking out Duncan's huge. He soaks up so many marks and so many kicks.
Menegola had low time on ground as well, I think.
Yeah, and we're still just passing over Cam Guthrie, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, he just, low time on ground, just going through the motion, just blow the cobwebs out, I think, as you said, for the Cats.
Gave away 4 frees. And I just wanted to talk about actual drafting. With Sidey's got a little niggle, Romarsh is down. Can you draft Danger over Lloyd? You could probably do it in Supercoach easier than AFL Fantasy. Could you do it in AFL Fantasy?
So I was very close to taking him at 3. I basically made the decision that if neither of the rucks got to me at pick 3, I was going to flip to Danger rather than Lloyd. And it was for that reason. Like, there's just so... it's Danger, massive gap, or uncertainty, and everyone else.
I reckon Dusty's pretty... Dusty looks good, man.
Yeah.
You look good.
He had low TAG as well.
And he was in like...
60%, something like that, but...
Second gear, just...
Yeah, okay. He was cruising. Moving on to GWS and the Swans. It was Toby fucking Green and Timmy Tarrant season all day long. Cogs actually looked pretty good for three quarters of a match, and Jelly was doing Jelly things as well, but a lot of Tom Green played midfield and playing forward as well. So again, as Steve said a bit earlier in the show, that he's in that pool of your Seb Rosses, those late round mids that can pop as maybe as an M7 or certainly bench cover. So he's looking good. And I think Jacob Hopper copped a bit of a corky or something in that game as well.
He got smashed in the head, I think. Like twice in about 5 seconds.
So concussion, he's out for round one. See you later.
Tom Green really did look very good. 73 AFL fantasy points for the 72% time on ground. So that's pretty good, like point per percent wise. Jacob Hopper, 77 for 78, looked pretty good. Perryman, at one stage, I saw a tweet. I didn't notice him all that much, but apparently he was, you know, best on ground at one point.
He was
probably for the first. Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of really disappointing scores here as well. And it's, you know, it's preseason and all that sort of stuff. But I expected more out of Isaac Cumming, Lockie Ash, and Nick Haynes. They all were pretty poor. And that could just be the way the game was played.
Who took the kick-ins for GWS?
I saw a couple of people. Yeah, mixed bag. So I saw Ash, Cumming, and Haynes at least take one each.
Can we talk about how fucked the GWS halfback line is? That I really want to talk about that, because they've got the cum dog, they've got Ash, they've got
it's got to be a better name. Come on,
no, it's cum dog,
cum dog.
The cum dog.
They've got Iden. Jeez. They've got Sam Reed, who we've seen actually be usable there before. So let's not shit on that too much. Matt Bunteen comes back. Whoever this Buckley character is, they played Callan Ward off the half back line, people.
If we got Sam Taylor and Phil Davis as well.
Yeah, they're the key back, like they're the key backs, that's fine, but they've got all these guys who are kind of, you know.
Yeah, nah, yeah.
doesn't exactly inspire confidence in their ball movement for me. And this is a team who's been in the bottom two of inside 50s the last 2 years. Yes, even in their grand final year, they did not get the ball inside 50. I have massive question marks over GWS. Whitfield should be good, obviously, if he plays back there, but I just find it really strange that they've got all these dudes who can't play through the midfield, and this is your back line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the recruiting strategy there has gone
mid-heavy, and they've forgotten about the defense.
And maybe
gone late on the defenders.
You can see why they wanted Ash, but he's still only a second-year player. Isaac Cumming, yes, he's been around for a while, but he's really not shown. He's not proved anything. So I don't know, man. I'm woof. Cagey.
Yeah,
cagey.
Luke Parker also had a 50-50 split between mid forward as well. I suppose that was to allow the guys like Florin, Hewitt, Mills, who didn't do too much roll through that midfield. JPK only played 70% game time as well, so you would think Park would go to maybe a 70-30 split later on in the season. JPK stays there as well, but Nick Blakey also worked his way into the game, was on like 2 or 3 at quarter time and finished off with some solid scores of 70s there, so again, one to watch out there for in your drafts.
You know who's shit is Tom Hickey.
Yes.
Just
did you see? What was he
on
again?
Minus 15. He had 5 frees against and no.
And they brought Callum Sinclair. They brought Callum Sinclair on in the last 10 minutes of the last quarter. That was it. So, and Buddy Franklin has been ruled out for round one as well.
No. No.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
I think one to, like, I was talking up Robottom a little bit, and I know it's a pracky game, but, and I agree with you that the splits for Parker and the time on ground will go up for JPK and Mills. But, man, he looked really good again. Kicked the 2 goals, scored the 80 AFL fantasy points from 65% time on ground. Pretty handy, and you'll get him on your bench in draft.
And Tommy McCartan seems to have a pretty nice role in defence. I don't know if it's because Jake Lloyd was out there, but...
That's where he's been playing. That's why they were shipped off a Lear. Like, they're happy with McCartan.
He had 8 marks there in defence. He had the 51 AFL fantasy. What do you have for Supercoach? 80 Supercoach. So not too bad there. If you're looking for a nice little intercept defender down defence there, Tommy McCartan.
You know who I really want to see get DPP is Matt DeBoer. Because if you want to see a player who never, ever has to leave the ground who plays midfield sometimes, it's Matt DeBoer. It'd be nice. That's all I'm saying.
And the last game, it is the Crows and the Power. The Crows, they're in for a long year. Let's put it.
Softballing it in there, John.
There's probably 5 guys I'm interested. It's Rory Laird, Brady Smith, Sloan, Brad Crouch, Matt Crouch, and ROB. The rest, get in the bin. No
interest. Man, what about Andrew McPherson?
Who? Don't give a fuck.
Intercepting defender actually scored the 87
today. They're missing
3
who didn't play, so...
Yeah.
There's 3 defenders coming back, and one of them being Tom Dodo, who's their main intercepting defender.
You know what really excites me this year? Is... longer quarters, quicker ball movement. We could see the blowout return in a big, big way.
Yes.
I'm junk here time. For these 200-point smackdowns.
Fucking oath. I was looking at some of the TOGs in that for the Port Power. Boak and Rocky, they had about 40% each game time. Ollie Wines played the whole game for 69% time on ground. We know he's always had... Yeah, he didn't have a massive TOG. And that's been like that his whole career. So, but he still scored well. I know it was a blowout, but he still scored well. Rosie scored well, 77%, but he's going in for foot surgery. He's going to miss a few weeks there. It's been confirmed. We said Orazio Fantasia had the 41% time on ground for 77 Supercoach, 73 AFL Fantasy. And I don't know if it was... because of the new rule of the blowout, but Carl Amon, 86% time on ground. Just
if he could play Adelaide every week, because he looked great.
Perfect matchup.
He looked great last week as well.
Port Adelaide's playing North Melbourne. Bang, matchup.
Get around it.
Get around it.
Is it like Alir probably the same, right? Alir will be a really good stream for that week. He was intercepting everything.
They just kept kicking it to him.
14
they're like,
marks.
We'll put it high and on the 50 arc. I wonder what will happen.
Houston and Aaliyah had 30 marks between them.
Far out.
Fucking hell. Yeah, there's some big scores there. Big scores there. Robbie Gray was pretty good.
190 marks? No!
Well, Bonner had 15. Ollie Wines, 10. Robbie Gray, 9. Aaliyah, 14. Butters, 10. Houston, 16. They're all the double-figure marks. The rest.
These are Dersma, Burton, Bergman, Laddams, Rosie, all had 9 or 8. Tom Jonas, 9. Darcy Byrne-Jones, 8. Fuck me.
Stream everyone against Adelaide. That's all we'll say.
Keen to give an update on 2020 breakout Chase Jones. 11 AFL fantasy points from the 44% time on ground.
How does that work out at PP?
The PPG is not very good.
Yeah, as we said, not much to write home to for the old Adelaide Crows.
How's Frio and West Coast going? That's surely better.
All right, there's quarter time, 21 apiece. Liam, Flying Ryan, 2 goals, 42 Dream Team, 44 Supercoach. The old man, Shannon Hearn. 41 Supercoach, 30 AFL Fantasy. Oscar Allen doing okay, kicked a goal. The midfielders. Oh, Nick Natanui is playing. Hasn't done much, only the 4 and 6. Gaff has had 6 disposals for 14 AFL Fantasy at 9. Without watching it, can't exactly comment too much.
Look
Rory
out, though.
Lobb is injured. He's got the thing on. Oh, no. Rory Lobb's down. Right knee injury.
Tabs.
Oh, no.
Actually?
Meek?
Wait, Lloyd Meek is doing well. He's on 19 at quarter time with the 4 hit outs.
Rory Lobb. We love Rory.
Is he actually dead?
Well, he's got the red thing on fan footy. It says went down in agony with the right knee.
Oh no.
And there goes a forward from my team.
Oh, that's why you don't draft.
Early. Hayden Young, though, looks really good, James, especially with Luke Ryan out.
James Ash is doing all right, and so is Blake Akers, for those who like pain.
Oh, man.
Young is doing well. He's on 24 and 23 Supercoach.
Well, why do you have to hurt me like this?
Who do you need a forward now? No, I was going to say Reece Conker's defender. So
good thing you drafted 87 blokes on every team's bench, Cam, so the pool must be looking good. That's right. Stupid league setup.
Well, it just means I've got to trade, Steve.
Trading. Yeah. Draft to trade. Yeah. That's the way to win.
That's the way.
I draft to trade.
That's a t-shirt.
All right. We do have some questions now on the Twitters. We got...
Jesus.
Yeah, we got some questions. We got Big Cox. Who the fuck is Sam Wicks? And is he related to John? He been murdering people with hugs today.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Again, didn't see too much, so I have no idea who the hell Sam Wicks is and who he actually plays for.
He's a Sydney player, but I don't think they allow horses on the ground, as he rode in that horrible John Wick 3.
Ah, yes.
That was a bad movie.
That was a bad movie. Can't wait for the fourth one, right?
They'll redeem themselves.
No fourth movie was ever bad.
Oh,
ever.
Man. Coming to America 2 is getting the shit kicked out of it, Jono.
Oh, is it no good?
I haven't seen
I started watching it last night. I'm about half hour into it. There was a couple of good jokes, but I was tired from driving 400 kilometers and having a couple of beers. So it just looks like a rehash of number one. Same sort of jokes, you know, whatnot. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll finish it up tonight. Frogger asks, if Jaden Shaw racked up 14 trillion possessions in a forest and no one was around to see it, would we still adjust our defender ranks? Probably not.
Very philosophical from the Frogger.
Probably not. I'm happy where he is. There we go. Look, Collingwood defenders, match made in heaven. He'll score well without Hooley. We saw it last year.
I think there's a real chance he could average 100.
I've got no doubt that.
Well, Hooley's averaged massive before, so why can't he?
Yeah.
Russ2468, smother me in butters. Fair enough.
Jack. Yes, we agree.
Absolutely. That's a salary cap question. No.
Cam looks no, like no.
What is it? Name and shame.
I won't name. On Supercoach, Brad Hill is 350,000K. Is he attempting mid-pricer? Looked more settled amongst his new teammates against the Blues. P.S. Why does Cam support the Cats living in Brisbane? Glory hunting?
That's
a good question, Tim.
And
wow.
Mind you, Big Cox replies, what is a mid-pricer? Do you mean a draft sleeper?
Hey, nice. And, no, it's a family thing, man. Family from Geelong. Give me a break.
But you are originally Victorian, yeah?
Yeah. It's born in Melbourne, East Melbourne. Thank you very much.
There you go. I like this name, The Franchise. Lobdown - Meek season. That's all. That's the tweet.
Look, everything's coming up Meek, man. I'm telling you. This is brilliant.
I'm glad we got this tweet came in just now. It's from Bloodnose. Cam looks like a dropped meat pie.
Wow. That is just savage.
Just mince and gravy everywhere.
And yet, it's pretty tasty.
Floor pie? It's
still a bit tasty. Yeah, floor pie could still be all right.
Floor pie.
Still get the right person, I'll still give it a go.
So, Steve, we got our big draft coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we do. I suppose I can't
ask you what you're sort of looking to do on the wrap, because there's a couple of people who do listen to this pod who are drafting next to you. So have you got basically maybe some broad ideas of what you're looking to do?
I don't give us your exact pick.
Yeah, it's Rory Laird, and then I'm going to pick. I don't think Josh Kelly will be there, so I'll just pick whichever mid is there, and then I'll pick the last forward in round three. Probably Zorko, I'd imagine. I don't think Dusty makes it back to me. Those are my exact picks.
There you go. There you go.
What about you, Jono?
As pick three, I'm looking at Grundog. But if both Ruckmans are gone and it's a choice out of Neil or Oliver, I'm probably going to go Oliver at three.
Oliver not named tomorrow.
Just resting him up. Just resting him up.
It's an odd strategy for a pre-season game.
That's what you want. Why do you want... Like, what are North Melbourne playing Goldie at, like, 90% TOG for? It's like, he's all you've got. Look,
I don't get that, but at the same time, I feel like getting a full game into
JJ's
people's legs...
Well, JJ's been dropped against Melbourne for the Monday game. So they've given a game to Bailey Williams ahead of Jason Johannesson.
Rightly so, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know, it is Bevo. He's got a raft of... Well, he's got Latham Vandermeer.
That's what I was going to say. They've got
Latham half back, for Christ's sake. So he's going full Bevo in the Amy series.
The interesting thing is if he misses round one, because defenders, Collingwood, whoever's there is going to score.
Draft Bailey Williams late, watch him ton it up, flip him, and you're golden.
Maybe we should be drafting Taylor Girardi's average from last year.
Don't think he was named.
I don't know. It's hard. I'm picking. So, just for the listeners, I'm picked 9 in our 10-team home league, and I see. This is kind of funny. It's like we get so many questions. I'm pick 6. I'm pick 8. Who do you think I should take? And it's like, fuck, man. I don't know who's getting picked in front of you. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'd be looking at Hayden Crozier. Nice little for round one. If he doesn't get drafted. As a certainly plug and play for round one.
You reckon I should draft him at pick 9, Hayden Crozier? Seems absolutely a bit early.
Josh Dunkley on the bench. Named on the bench.
Wow.
But
I can't touch Josh Dunkley super early. Where do you take Dunkley?
Someone else's problem. If it was third or fourth, maybe. Maybe.
So you'd take him at the back of the third?
Yeah, he's there for me.
Because he won't be in a position for me to take him other than the start of the third. We play bonsai people.
Want to explain that to the listeners who don't know.
I want to explain it to our league mates in our umpteenth draft year who still fucking need it explained. So wait, in round...
In round three, it's not my turn on the turn?
Yeah, so
why not?
All that happens is round three repeats as the same as round two. And we find... Because we play Supercoach with the early picks being sort of 120, 130 averages, it sort of balances out. Although I'd say more people win from the back than the front, Jono.
Yeah, there's only been maybe one winner, one or two winners.
Pick one's won.
Yeah. That was, I think, old Dano a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
Have you guys seen A Train to Busan?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Pretty the train.
I'm like a quarter of the way through it.
It's just Train to Busan, but anyway.
Oh.
The Asian zombie movie, yes.
Yeah, Korean zombie film. Pretty good.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
And Hollywood have now gotten their hands on it and will wreck the remake.
Yeah, it's no good.
Yeah.
No good.
But watch the Asian version, because it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm quarter of the way through it. And I was kind of like... How can there still be 3/4 of this film to go? Like, they're kind of almost at Busan, aren't they? Like, what do they do after that?
They're going to get water in the locomotive and keep moving.
What I want to know, I watched the Maroon 5 clip to this video clip called Sugar, and Maroon 5 across Los Angeles and play at all these weddings impromptu. And everyone's real happy and jumping up because Maroon 5 is playing. But then what happens? Like, because they're obviously just going to play one song and fuck off. And it's like the rest of the wedding, the rest of the wedding can't be good. Like, and who's the band who has, like, I'm not a Maroon 5 fan, but obviously they're a big you know, worldwide famous band. Imagine you're the band who has to come on and bring the crowd back up for Maroon 5 playing, like, you know, covers of
Maroon 5 in, and then but you've all already hired Chumbawamba. They just play that one song for the rest of the wedding. Boom.
That's pretty good, actually.
It's pretty good.
I think that. But like, I think you know, people would be like, it looks like they think, oh, this is going to be a great memory. I think it's fuck their wedding.
Think about Grandma Maud, right? She's 80 years old, and she's like,
What's going on?
Dear, who the fuck was that?
Well, there are a bunch of confused people. Even when they drop the curtain, there are people looking at them who should possibly know them going,
who are you? That would be me. I'm like,
security?
I didn't hire these people. Security, get the fuck out. That'd be good. Gang tackled on stage. Put that in your video clip, Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Getting escorted out by the cops. And
drunk Jono just fucking wailing on you.
Let's wrap it on up on that note.
On that note. If you want to follow us on social media, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, The Draft Doctors. Buy the draft kit. Buy the mock site. If you are drafting between now and the next pod, good luck in your drafts. We hope you smash it, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.